This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. Welcome to the show. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm Nikki Glaser. I'm in Hollywood, California. With me today is Noah. She's in Arizona. Anya is in Cupertino. And Brian Frangi is right here on the couch next to me. What's up?
We're in like an eco cave.
It's an eco hotel. It's clean.
And it's sharp.
It's sharp. It's so sharp.
I think I bumped into like six or seven things on the way up here.
It's so sharp. The lobby's sharp nice way. Though, right?
Oh, yeah. When Doesn't I went to the lobby, good? I felt like I was in a tropical resort.
It's like the Rainforest Cafe updated.
Yes.
It is so nice down there. It smells really good.
They're like, we have plundered the rainforest to give you the most eco-friendly experience.
Everything's made of, Palo Santo or whatever. It's really a good vibe up in this place. The lobby is so
reclaimed.
Nice. Yeah.
Reclaimed from a Rainforest Cafe that shut down in 2003.
My joke for the Rainforest Cafe was like, if they really want to make it the Rainforest Cafe, it should just have like bulldozers and like crying monkeys. One time there was one under construction at a mall and I was like, this is the greatest joke ever, because there was literally a bulldozer in there and I was like, it's an accurate Rainforest Cafe. But I like this place because the lobby's so nice, and because hotels now, I don't know if you've noticed after the pandemic, they've all decided to change their check-in time. What did it used to be? Globally? Internationally?
What, noon,
across
one?
The board? No, 3 o'clock. That was always the check-in time. Always. Now what is it?
Four o'clock.
Mm. Did they send out a memo? Did they send out an alert? No, they all secretly changed it during COVID when Chris the other day said COVID was a reset button and everyone kind of gets to go play by their own rules now.
Yes.
They reinvented
and they
things.
Raised all the prices on top of that.
Raised the prices. Yeah. Now housekeeping is like, oh, we're trying to save the planet, so we do it every 3 days. And it's like, no, you're understaffed and you're cheap.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's a scam. Like what I've heard is that it hurts the staff because they're not cleaning as much, they're not working as many hours, they're not getting paid. So when they say like, oh, as a, you know, to save the COVID or whatever, or even if it's like ecological, they say we're not going to come up and clean your stuff, and it's like they would prefer it. The workers would prefer
it. Maids are dying to get in my room most of the time. They're always like, you don't want anything? You promise you don't?
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh man, I guess my sheets are a little sweaty. Get in here, lady.
Yeah.
No, there's a sign in there on the bathroom. And it's so, I was like, wow, they did some marketing research on this, or just did some psychological research. So the sign says, hang up your towel to indicate that you don't need a fresh one. And then, so that we all know that sign that's usually put there. Then underneath it, it says, most of our guests opt to do this. It's okay sometimes to be a follower.
Oh my God.
Jeez. Isn't that, wait, let me just read it. Hold on.
I'm oh my God. It. That's like an abusive boyfriend.
Yes.
What the fuck?
Okay. Repeat after me.
Okay. I'm going to repeat after you. Hanging up your towel means we'll leave them right here.
Most of our guests do.
Sometimes it's okay to be a follower.
Yeah.
That's like a, or like a really overbearing mother.
And you know what? They know who they're preying on. People in Hollywood. And everyone here wants to do what everyone else is doing. And I bet they did research and they realized in some R&D that people don't hang up their towels because even though they would reuse it, they think that they are gross, or they think that other people wouldn't do this. And so they're like, if we just make it seem like most people do this,
yes,
then everyone will follow. That's so weird.
Yeah.
They're trying to save money, but I always hang up my towel. I never need fresh towels as long as they have time to dry.
Unless Ian Fidance is staying with you.
Oh yeah, Ian Fidance bled all over my towels last week. Not even my towels, Chris's towels. Chris didn't even know he was coming over to use the shower.
I love that he folded them and hung them back up.
He put them back with blood on them. His cheek, his fucking lip blood all over them.
God, I love him so much.
That fucking hillbilly.
Shrimp King.
Yeah, well, this hotel, it was just cheaper than the, I stay in like three hotels in this area within walking distance to the Comedy Store. And this one was just the cheapest for a suite because I'm tired of staying in like a tiny room. And I'm kind of, yeah, I'm a little perturbed by that sign. And they're trying to save water, but the bath is like a fucking pool. So yeah. I felt really bad last night as I drew a bath. I don't feel comfortable saying I drawed a bath.
Well, yeah, it's highfalutin.
Yeah.
To say I drew a bath.
Well, Anya was talking about dressing a wound, and I was like, did you put a hat and scarf on it and some sunglasses? Like, dressing anything, like, don't, yeah, I don't want
to. They're all arapes. Brian, do you have any ear rapes, any words that make you cringe?
Yeah, we call it
ear rapes. None.
No.
I don't know them.
Well, it's like things
I'm
like.
I'm chill. I wouldn't say anything about your towels.
On Instagram, when people say, like, this guy. This one.
Oh, I hate that.
Like those little things.
Oh, I hate that. Oh. Yeah. Every time my fiance, I hate fiance. The word fiance too.
Oh, really? I love that word. That is what I'm most looking forward to in possibly getting married, engaged. I want to be a fiance forever.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because people get excited. You get attention when you say my fiance. People go, oh, when are you getting married? How did he propose? And everyone's excited for you. When you say my husband, everyone's bored by that. No one cares. There's no follow-up question. It doesn't spark conversation. It sparks a little sadness.
Well, that's what I'm looking for.
Oh.
I don't want the whole, ooh, how'd you meet conversation.
I'm not saying fiance on a plane next to a stranger. No. I'm not saying anything. But if I want to, like, feel cool, I don't know. I just think fiance is cute because it shows that your relationship is in a good place. It's the only time that you are actually pretty in love, because you could still call it off if you weren't in love. Mm-hmm. So you must be in love, but you're also in love enough to take it to the next level. Husband, I know you're locked in. You could fall out of love with this guy. You could hate your husband. You probably do.
Yeah.
But fiance, you at least, I know you guys are happy.
That's 100% true. Because fiance is in this zone where you're like, you guys are going to have a wedding. I mean, I'm sure there's some unhappy fiancés out there, but for the 100%. Most part, a fiance, you're in a good spot, and if you're, you could say, just say the word, my fiance. It's almost impossible to say with a negative connotation. Where I could say my wife, my wife. It almost comes with a negative connotation automatically.
I was writing up our wedding invitations over the weekend, and it like all the suggestions were to say, we invite you to this celebration of the marriage of Anya and Matt. And I was like, I hate this word marriage. I wanted to say wedding. But all the invites say, like, you're invited to the marriage. Do you guys hate marriage, too? It just sounds so boring.
Marriage.
It is.
Marriage, institutional.
It is boring.
I'm like, no, it's a wedding. Like, come to our wedding.
Why? I just realized I'm on a podcast with three fiancés.
Bar.
You're oh, all fiancés.
Can
You're
I just say what I love zone. About fiancé? I don't like yeah. the word either, but what I do like about it is that it's kind of like ambiguous. Because when I say fiancé, it's like I'm saying partner. You don't know if it's Ooh. A man or a woman.
Really? Yeah.
And I love that.
I've never had that thought ever.
Well, like, you used to say partner.
I know, but I never think, like, if I say my fiance, that someone out there, like, maybe 1% of the population would be like, could be a woman.
Right. I never thought about that either. I don't really, wait, why do you like to have that? Why do you like the ambiguity?
I just like it. I have no explanation.
You like mystery. To confuse and baffle people.
Yes. Yeah, that yeah, you might,
I guess, you have something
yeah,
over
dating
them.
A woman.
They don't know.
I'm going to start okay. saying I'm going to marry a woman.
Like being mysterious.
I do hate... Boyfriend is hilarious to me now. Just as, I feel like I'm in the... Like, when I used to say my grandma had a boyfriend, I'm in that stage now of like, it's ridiculous to have a boyfriend. I'm 38. What is this? A boyfriend!
Yeah, no, it's very
Man-friend
juvenile.
Man-friend doesn't sound good either, but boy... The word boy is
Why
in
is it,
it
boy?
I don't know! Because it's a juvenile thing.
Yes.
Because we used to get married by the time we were 17. So yeah. Under that, it was boyfriend.
Well, the boys would get married at 17 and the girls would get married at like 13.
Yeah.
I was that's how it was.
Oh, God. Have you guys watched Waco?
No.
Oh, my God. It's
Man,
so good.
I watched
good.
That place burn back in 94 whenever it happened.
It's
when
so
I was a kid,
good.
Just
yes,
being like,
we
what
all
the hell is this thing? It's
time.
On TV all the time, this burning building.
Yeah. It's wild. I wish they would have done a. I mean, unless there's another episode. I think it's done, but it left me with a few questions. But there, so many of the people are still believers, and one
no
of them
way.
Is like defending him, like being with 14-year-old Giselle. She goes, a woman comes of age at 12 in our religion. So it's like, it's yeah. wild.
Oh, man.
It is really
yeah,
well
boyfriend
done.
Boyfriend feels, I got to watch Waco. I will watch it because it almost reminds me of like, it was one of those 90s events where it was like September 11th. I mean, I know that wasn't in the 90s, but.
Feels like it.
Yeah, it kind of does. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty close. The bombing, the Oklahoma City bombing.
The Oklahoma City bombing.
That was the yeah. first one I remember. I was in fourth grade.
And Timothy McVeigh.
The World Trade Center bombing.
World Trade Center bombing. So I missed that one. I don't remember that one.
What the 9/11 really did the most damage to the original World Trade Center bombing because nobody remembers that now.
Oh my God, you're right.
The guy who did never that bombing. Yeah.
They did not get to never forget.
Oh,
no,
right.
no.
They
everyone
gotta,
forgot
like,
that
instantly
one.
Forget.
Can you yeah. imagine? You're sitting there and you're like, I'm famous for this. And then someone does it twice as big.
I mean, not only twice as big. I mean, how many people died in the first one? Because I know a million people died in the second one. I'm just kidding. That's one of our...
callback.
yeah. On my original radio show on Sirius, Jen, who worked on the show, I asked one day how many people everyone thought died in 9/11.
Yeah.
And she guessed a million. It was so cute.
In terms of the impact,
it was just
it
under
feels
3,000. And then after with victims later on, it's been thousands.
So where were you?
Where was I on September 11th?
On September 11th.
I was in first period, AP English, Miss Larson's class. And I said, what's the World Trade Center? And she goes, you don't know what the World Trade Center is. And she like really was mad at me.
Oh, my God.
And then I got a 5 on the AP exam. And she called me and was like, I can't believe you got a 5. And I'm like, yeah, suck
what
it, bitch.
Fuck?
Yeah, she was like really did not think
Wait,
that I had
she called you?
Yeah, she called. Because
she called you?
They call you to tell you your score. Because
oh,
she
okay.
gets them.
She called your house.
Yeah, she called my house in the summer and was like, you got a 5. I can't believe it. She's like my mom.
Wow.
She's nagging
I
you.
I know.
People
love
like
you this much. yeah, where were you?
I was also in class.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think most of us were.
My math teacher was like in their 80s or something. Or at least in my when I was whatever age and I thought my math teacher was 80. She might have been like 40.
Okay.
That's just
yeah,
the way it
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, 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 you're right.
But she refused to acknowledge
too old to have a boyfriend.
Too old to have a boyfriend, no. Although she did have many. I feel like I felt pretty bad because I was on Long Island and my dad's a Whoa. Firefighter and he had to keep
what?
Shifting. He had to keep shifting towards Manhattan. And so I was like really nervous about this, but my
yeah.
teacher refused to acknowledge anything was happening. She made us learn differential equations or whatever. While we were all like, can we just please watch the news? And like most of us, we're on Long Island. Like most of us have like family members
yes.
who are like rushing to the city or work
Jesus.
In the city. We didn't know what was going on. Like,
your
we thought we were
was
under
a
attack.
Firefighter?
He's a volunteer firefighter on Long Island.
Oh my God.
And so what they would do is all the firefighters on Long Island would have to keep shifting west towards the city because all the firefighters in the city were now at the World Trade Center, and someone would have to cover their spots.
You have a fire at your house on September 11th.
Oh yeah, well then somebody out east would have to come out to cover for the people who are supposed to be there because you're firefighters.
So everyone's shifting.
Yeah, and I was like, how far is he shifting?
People in Hawaii are like, we got to go to LA.
Eventually.
Yeah. Shit.
That's why there was all those Japanese firefighters in Long Island on 9/11. People think it was for other reasons.
So yeah, the Columbine, another seminal disaster. And then they just keep on coming. I don't know why I like morbid things, but I read about these things a lot.
Yeah, you get into it.
It interests me. Yeah, I mean, I can't help it. But you know, at this point with things that happen, I'm just like, I'm over it.
If you were a teacher during something like 9/11, what would you do? Would you stop the class?
I can't say what I would do, but I'd be looking for any reason to stop the class. I'm bored. I don't like work. I'm not trying to get jobs done. I'm not ever someone.
So you would
someone,
like put on a movie?
These people, you know me too. Everyone who's worked with me, I'm always looking for some reason to like not have to get the job done. So I would have been excited to put on the TV and to watch. But I would have been a little bit mindful of the fact that if I was in your teacher, that kids might know people. And but I mean, that was just such an insane fucking day.
Insane.
No one knew what to do.
You know what? I mean, I feel kind of bad about it, but I was like kind of excited was my initial feeling.
I mean, I
don't
think
know
that's
why.
Listen, I could go into some weird thoughts that I've had when there's announcements of certain things, and I go, only 30 casualties. Well, what are they even reporting?
Well, I didn't understand what was going on. And so it was just like something exciting was happening.
Well, it shook up the day.
Yeah.
You know?
And then after I went home and I was like horrified.
But
I remember in school like running around the hallways like something's happening, we're under attack. And I was too young to understand.
Yeah, like, what were you, in eighth grade or something?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
No, you don't remember what class that was in?
I just remember it was math.
Well, that teacher, what grade? What did you have that teacher? Come on.
Well,
man.
I had her multiple years.
Oh,
what year were you born? Because this was
2008.
There we go. 88.
Okay, so you were in 12? Eighth grade.
Okay, yeah. So they refused to acknowledge, and then I was running around the halls, being like, "We're under it. What are we gonna do, guys?" Like me and my ragtag
crew. Do you remember if you
crew.
Were in your middle school running the halls, or if you were in your high school?
In my middle school.
Okay, so you were eighth grade. Okay.
Well, no, I don't remember. I was just.
You
basing that off of
you just picture hallways and you don't know
well,
what hallways
the same
they
school.
Are.
It was the same
they
school.
The
Wait,
same.
Why were you in a big school that had all the grades?
They were attached. It was the same school.
We were attached schools.
There was no change at all. You would just go one floor up or one floor down.
What? That sucks.
I'm sorry.
It's fun to go to a new school.
Well, I didn't get that. I'm sorry that
didn't
I didn't
you feel
get
cheated?
That. I could have gone to any. I could have moved.
Well, no, you couldn't. You're kind of locked in.
You're a child. Yeah.
Did you guys go to a... You went to a separate... You changed schools,
I had a
right?
school Isn't, like that, too. I went to a middle school. First, I tried a real junior high. I went to a one-room schoolhouse, K through 6, with 30 kids. So I was a completely little house on the prairie. Then I transferred to
like Montessori or something?
No, it was just... I grew up on a mountain, and there were no kids here, and that we had one school. And the school was the school district, too. But then when I went to 7th grade, I was like... Hey, what are y'all doing here? Because I just was wearing the same outfit every day. Like, I didn't know how to be cool. And that I just failed so miserably at that school. So then I begged my parents to let me go to this other middle school where I knew some kids from my other school. And then we had jungle gym bars. And I was in 7th grade. But I was hanging out with the elementary school kids at the jungle gym bars and doing like Dead Man's Drop and Suicide. Do you remember these moves on the bars?
No.
Oh, they were so cool.
What's Suicide?
Like, here's a bar and then here's your knees. You're sitting on top. This is Suicide. Uh-huh. You go back and you do a full 360 turn and you end up sitting back on the bar again.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
It's insane.
That's really hard to do.
I know. China taught me. That's where I met China, my best friend. And and I was happy in that school. But I remember all the girls were getting their periods and China and I weren't yet. And we were like, we just want to hang out with the 6th graders on the jungle gym bars.
Yeah, Peter Pan.
Yep.
Did you ever play pea gravel?
What's
no
that?
No pea gravel?
No.
No?
That is definitely
it's a Long Island game kind of thing.
It was called pea gravel because there was like gravel, like little rocks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why it's called pea gravel. Maybe because the rocks are sizes of peas.
Okay.
Yeah, so it all makes sense. You walk on like the jungle gym / wooden, you know, kids thing, and you can't touch the pea gravel. And if you do, you have to like go home.
Well, that the floor is lava, right?
Yeah, I guess that's the floor. We called it no pea gravel.
That was just your school, Brian. That's not like a ubiquitous
There's
game.
There's no way that would be a thing anywhere outside of your school.
And then I went to the Midwest and I asked, I was like, hey, you kids want to play no pea gravel? Well, and I got arrested.
You ever play a tree trunk with one branch?
Wait, so did you have friends in middle school? Were you like, what was your like kind of vibe?
Oh,
I had middle school, high school.
My middle school friends changed from my high school friends, but I had like, I do
Why
have a.
Just because.
Well, I had one friend who was almost exactly like Cartman from South Park.
Really?
Yeah, he was exactly
like. He talked like this.
Yeah. Yes, he does. And he would walk around and he would mimic Cartman because.
Oh my God! Oh, because Cartman was.
Because he would
back
watch
then.
Cartman, mm-hmm. And he'd go like no Rojambeau and stuff like that, and he'd try to kick you in the balls. But I remember when we stopped being friends.
What?
Yeah, and it was we had a friend. His name was Doug. And we had another friend named Chris who lived, we all lived around the corner from each other. And Chris had this dumb statue on his front lawn. It was like a little boy holding a lantern. You ever see one of those?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
What is the
classic
point? Yeah, a little like horse boy.
I don't know why people gravitate towards dumb shit like that. Like what? Because probably because of the towel thing. Someone else has it.
Yeah.
But what does it mean?
I don't know what the little horse boy
means. So
I understand like a dwarf. That's like a fun,
a little garden gnome.
A little garden gnome. Those
sure
are cool.
Yes.
But to put a horse boy holding a lantern on your front lawn
yes
feels like you're trying too hard to please somebody.
Yes, absolutely.
So we had this dumb statue, and our goal, and we ride bikes, and our goal was to ride bikes over there and knock over the statue and then run off, and the little horse boy would be on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so Doug and I went over there with this other kid. And we're sneaking up. We feel like we're about to rob a fucking bank. We're like, so this is like the most exciting thing that ever happened.
Yeah.
We go up. It's like the middle of the day,
it's
too.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, to do kids' shenanigans.
Yes.
Shenanigans.
Yes.
We run up to the statue, and I'm like, all right, we got to push this over. And me and the other kid, we gently like place it on the lawn. We're like, get the fuck out of here. We got to run. So we start running, and Doug, he trips. He trips and he falls, and he has his arm outstretched towards us while we're getting on our bikes, trying to, and he goes, no!
It's like you're leaving him on the battlefield.
Right, like we're leaving him on the battlefield. He's like, don't leave me here! No! And we're like, we gotta go, and we ride off, and we leave him behind.
And that's...
Well, and then we circle back like a 30 minutes later, safe amount of time.
I know. You go and you wait, and you're like, do you think they've noticed yet? And you go back to the scene of the crime.
Yes, yes,
classic...
Yes.
Criminal behavior.
Yeah, and we also are wondering if he's still laying there. Mm-hmm. He really didn't seem like he was going to get up unless we helped him.
Oh my God, Doug.
No, he just wanted to suffer. Yes. He wanted us to betray him.
He sounds like he fell on purpose.
It feels like it.
Okay. When you're embarrassed, though, you'll do ridiculous things. I was in an ice skating competition once when I was 9, and I tripped and fell in the first 20 seconds of the song. And while I fell, I thought, this is so embarrassing and so bad. Pretend you fainted. I let all the music play out, and it was like so.
You just laid there on the ice.
Yeah, just laid there.
Dug on the ice
and like ruined all the months of preparation just because I was so humiliated.
How long were you laying there for?
Like probably 60 seconds, and then I was like,
until someone.
I think
that's
no
so
one came to
like,
save me, and I just got up eventually.
And the music's playing.
In your head, you thought that someone was going to be like, she fainted mid sow cow.
What was the song?
It was something gross, like, my heart belongs to daddy. And I think my dad was on the ice with me because my fucking coach was like, we're going to have your dad out there in a folding chair reading a paper. And I was like, later on, I thought about this. I'm like, this is sexualizing children. Like, why am I doing, my heart belongs to daddy? The song is about your boyfriend, not your daddy.
Oh, okay.
What?
I think the song is like, my heart belongs to daddy, my boyfriend daddy. Isn't it?
No way. It's about your dad. They would not be using
maybe
daddy
I was just
sexually.
Really wanting to fuck my dad.
I mean, yeah, it's all mixed up.
It's
in
a
there.
Sexy song though. But anyway, then I fainted, then I fell. I tripped on something and fell, and then just decided to really go for it and make it look like a huge fall. And I like slid across the ice on my face, and then just laid there. And
what?
I accidentally
and the
like
song's playing.
And the song's playing out, and I just was like,
your dad is just still maintaining his
I think
role in the. In the lawn chair.
I don't think
paper.
He was even noticing me. So typical. I think it was just like in character. Yeah. And then I finally got up and tried to finish the routine, but
he doesn't want to mess up his rambouchon. What was it?
Embouchure.
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 Oh, sorry. I messed up the Cartman thing.
Rochambeau, as the Cartman used to say.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Okay, we gotta go to break, and we'll find out what happened with Doug when we get back after this. I know you're on the edge of your fucking lawn chair.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome back. Well, we all need to know what happened to Doug laying on the lawn next to the little kicked over.
So we returned back to the lawn and Doug was not there. The statue was still over. Nothing occurred. Nothing.
Nothing.
And obviously at some point, just like Anya on the ice, At some point, the jig is up and you just have to get up. That's the funniest part. It's, yes. It's like you've been faking this. No one cared.
Yes.
And you're like, you know what? I'm just going to get up now.
Oh, my God. Faking things is so embarrassing when you like... I faked crying before to like get sympathy from a boyfriend, or like faked being asleep.
Oh, yeah.
So that... you can like so that you maybe look like a precious angel and they'll maybe like kiss your head or something. Like, why do I do any of this stuff? Like, it's so embarrassing.
And
or fake like
knows.
I don't see someone, fake like I like last night there was someone in the lobby and I know her, she knows me, but there's like a little bit of a weird thing between us, like,
oh yeah,
she's friends with someone that I'm not like friends with anymore, and it was just kind of like, and I would have said hi, but I was like, maybe she saw me and doesn't want to say hi because I think she had a chance to see me before I saw her. But when I saw her, she wasn't looking at me. So I thought maybe she had turned prior. Because do you ever catch someone before they see you and then you like put your head in a way that's like, then I don't have to catch their eye. So it felt like it was like that.
There's nothing that makes someone notice you more than when you catch them and you turn away and they didn't see you.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they're like, someone did that. It's like everybody has a spider sense for that.
I do it all the time. I've pretended so many times not to see people, and I'm really good at it, actually.
And then what happens?
I always see people before they see me.
Yeah. Generally. I can see that. Yeah, you're good at scanning.
You're
good at scanning.
You're good at scanning.
Thank you.
I always see you.
Scanner Darkly. Isn't that a movie?
Yeah, that was a rotoscope movie with Keanu Reeves from 2007.
Okay.
I have something disturbing to tell you guys.
What?
My Heart Belongs to Daddy was originally done by Cole Porter, and the woman does a striptease in the play singing that song, and it's a fucking song about
and the adults who assign
about a boyfriend.
Yep, it's about a boyfriend. It's like the lyrics are like, Lolita, if I invite a boy some night to dine on my Finn and Hattie, is that like a euphemism? I just adore his asking more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. And Marilyn Monroe did a striptease to it, too.
Daddy in the song is still your dad.
I don't think so. I think it's for my boyfriend.
Yeah, I want more, but my heart belongs to... No, I think she's talking about, like, I can't sleep with you because my heart belongs to Daddy. Like, I am a young...
Well, one of the lines says, my heart belongs to my daddy because Daddy, my daddy, my little old daddy,
he treats it so. It's her sugar daddy.
That little old
daddy
man,
is her sugar daddy.
It's so good.
A newspaper magnate introduced with the words, "I've come to care for such a sweet millionaire." She does.
What it means. It doesn't matter what it means. The lyrics are lascivious. Is that a word?
Yes.
It's lascivious, lewd, and there should be no young child doing a ice dance.
Oh my God! I just remembered my outfit. It was fishnets. I was wearing I'm 10. 9 or 10, wearing fishnets and a tight leotard, and I had a boa, and I like used the boa around my dad, and he was in a chair. This is fucked
up.
No,
you did it.
Okay, Brian remembered he was molested yesterday, and I just remembered that I was a victim to a fucked up thing by my very sweet ice skating coach, who probably...
And your dad! Your dad is an adult and signed on for this.
Oh my God, yes.
Sorry.
And then what's with the dad sitting in a chair with a newspaper that's part of it?
Gave him something to do.
Oh,
because he can't be on the ice like skating around.
No,
he's a daddy.
Yeah, he's a daddy.
This
only pays
is all
for
very
it.
Disturbing.
It's so gross. Is it news to anyone that old men want to fuck young girls? This is the society we live in. They want to fuck young boys and young girls. That is why, that is what, like, there's... And there's so many of them that want to do it, and they can't hide it sometimes. Remember Serge Gainsbourg and Charlotte?
His daughter?
Yes. They had disgusting songs together. I kind of like it when it comes to the surface, because it's happening beneath the surface all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just now kind of coming to, I think in the past 20 years, we've all kind of woken up to like, oh, you shouldn't sexualize children. But it was happening all the time during the 70s, like looking back on our childhoods, I think it was happening a lot more frequently.
Yeah.
And you still see it, like, even like, I don't know. I
what
sometimes
those, like,
see just little
shows.
Girls. Yes. The pageant things with the girls wearing makeup and even girls getting their ears pierced. I'm like, stop bejeweling this child.
Yes.
Why do you need to do that? Isn't she already a little jewel? And then like, isn't, why does she need to be like more sparkly?
And your whole like, point about giving little girls dolls and like, you're, that's your baby. Yes. Like, that's this weird.
You're a mommy. Train for what you're going to be doing in a couple years. And it's just, and just, ugh, Santa Claus, sit on my lap. I'm an old man and now your kid is on my lap and I'm going to, and just,
and whisper in my ear what you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all very sexual.
Yeah. I mean.
But what the reverse, so back in the whatever, 1600s, little kids would be dressed up like little Muppets. They would have like full dress and leggings and they would be covered in cloth.
Yes.
And they
that's
walk,
better.
They would walk around like this.
Okay.
What is a Muppet? I mean, I don't
they would dress up like a Muppet.
You mean a Muppet?
Yeah. No, no, a Muppet is a
well, we know what a Muppet is. You don't need to finish that sentence. Like,
what the fuck is a Muppet?
Can I just explain what a Muppet is? A Muppet. Haven't you ever seen the, what's that play? The, I don't remember the play.
Avenue Q? Those are Muppets.
Yeah, Avenue Q. those are Muppets. M-O-O.
No, that's Muppet.
A Muppet is a small, endearingly sweet child.
Oh,
I got it right.
Yeah.
They dressed them up like Muppets.
Well, no, I think they already are Muppets because they're a small, sweet, endearing child.
Yeah.
You have to cover them in cloth.
Yeah. I
you
didn't
cover
know.
Them in various layers of cloth.
Oh, my God. I
what?
Went.
And they walk around like this. And there's no sexualization until they turn 13. And then you sell them.
And then you, yeah. And then
you sell them to a man who has cows. And you say, you can have sex with this kid. God. That's basically what happened.
Yeah, it totally
no
is.
No more Muppet after. Although then the husband would dress you up like a Muppet.
What? Oh, and yeah, because then it's he's
then
just,
it's your
just,
mind.
You're mine, and you cannot be sexual for any other man. Yeah, it's all fucked, man.
Can I finish the Doug story? Because I feel like now too much time has passed.
The
payoff is not good enough for the amount of time that's passed.
I mean, that's why I got away from it. I felt it coming. I felt there was not... This was really the first September 11th attack or the first World Trade Center attack. I wanted to forget it. Go on.
All right, so we go back to we go to Doug's house
oh.
and we knock on the door and he opens the door and he is shirtless, drinking. He made this drink that was a full glass of milk with a full sleeve of Oreos absorbed into the milk.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he would drink that. And he opened the door shirtless and we're like, oh, Doug.
That
you're
would be so delicious because after you drink down the milk, which disgusts me, by the way, I think even before I was a vegan, people just drinking milk straight up is the grossest thing I could ever imagine.
Yes.
But then afterwards, the Oreos soaked with the milk. And so they're almost like you could bite into them even if you have fresh veneers because they just give way right away.
I was just thinking.
That consistency
I can't even
makes
enjoy
me
this fantasy.
So happy. No, you can. This one's good for you. This is all for you. Okay. So he drank his milk drink. He's shirtless.
And we go, Doug, are you okay? And he goes, we will never be friends again.
Whoa.
And he slammed the door. And that was it. Done.
No.
He was never friends with us again.
Wait
he would
a second.
Never hang out with us.
Because you left
because
him
Because you
there?
Left him.
Because we left him behind. No, leave no man behind. That was the code. And we didn't abide by
you
it.
You betrayed him.
Yeah.
And all so had for that the rest pack. Of like, because you went to college at your high school too, right?
Yeah. So we'd stay going. In the same building. That's where I still live.
Did you ever
there.
Speak again?
Never. No. I mean, I
Whoa.
Would. We would see each other and he would just be a scowl.
Man.
Be a scowl.
That's tough. Did he find other friends?
He moved.
Did you get bullied ever? Were you guys cool or were you kind of dork? Like, I picture
I was
you like
in,
freaks and geeks.
In
like,
high
kinda...
school, I was in that world between dorks and
most
cool kids.
Comedians were.
Yeah.
Most people I know were somewhere in between. Noah was, she was just trying to stay under the radar. She was kind of, were you goth, Noah?
I mean, all the goth kids were like, cool in one section of the school
yes.
and I wasn't a part of their club either. I was like an uncool like wannabe different person.
But you just wanted to not get like be seen. Was that
oh,
your
yeah.
thing?
Yes.
Did you
yeah,
want
yeah,
friends
yeah.
at all or did you had you given up on that?
Well, I gave up on it because I was like embarrassed of how we lived. So I just had like one friend who was just as poor as me. So
Aww.
I was like, I'm never going to invite anyone
that
to my house.
So much. There was a kid on stage last night, this guy, Aaron from Kansas City. I forget his last name, but he was the MC and he was talking about, he's joking about it, but growing up and his mom was a hoarder and he and his brother would just lie and say that they that, you know, our parents are sick or like you can't come over. They just stopped having friends mm-hmm. because they were too ashamed of the house. And so he didn't have any friends. It just breaks my heart that parents' disease makes kids not want to have people over.
Oh,
just
yeah.
But I think that happens all the time and makes kids so lonely. Whenever I hear about kids not having friends or not enjoying high school, and most people don't, I think.
Did you enjoy high school?
I fucking loved it. Yeah. I loved it so much. That's why I'm obsessed with Columbine. I think I just want to go back to the days where I was in high, like things that happened when I was in high school.
And pre-Columbine. I mean, those were the days. No fear.
Oh, you didn't have to take your shoes off to go through TSA?
No, you didn't do anything.
Wait, no, that wasn't high school. Yeah, pre-Columbine. No, we didn't have any measures after Columbine that were like instated.
People felt like that was going to be a one-off thing that never would happen again.
Yeah, even though it was happening a lot before Columbine, too.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, everyone thinks Columbine was the first one, but no, it was happening. They were copycats. But yeah, I loved high school so much.
Mickey's still very good friends with all her high school girls.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to all go hang out with them this week, tomorrow. There's a girls' trip that Anya, Noah, Carlisle, Saralina, Kirsten, Hala, Taylor.
Lauren. And your sister.
And my sister. Oh my God, yes. So there's like 9 girls going.
Wow, where are you going?
3 of them are my best friends since childhood, and the rest are all friends I picked up along the way. Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, is it that far away that it's going to get that much hotter? LA, it's like
it's
raining
only gonna
today.
It's going to be like 70 degrees.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, the woman from the Airbnb wrote me and said, "Do you want an extra $100 a day? I can heat this pool up for you." And I go, "Heat it up, baby."
Yeah.
Preheat that pool. So we're going to have a pool and a hot tub.
We went to Palm Springs once.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Do you remember that? That was so long ago.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Why?
That was the only time I've ever been.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, you got to go back.
What did you guys do there?
I don't have good memories from that.
I think Chris and I were fighting
or something.
It was, we were like, okay, July 4th weekend's coming up. What are we going to do?
So hot.
We got to do something.
Yes.
We were in this mode where it was like, we can't let these holidays just waste away.
And I was like, yes, we can. I have a boyfriend that is very much like, we got to seize the day.
Oh, he seizes.
And he does. He loves traveling. He loves experiences. And I'm like, we can absolutely have a forgettable 4th of July, but no.
We said no, we're going to go to Palm Springs.
Yes.
And we're going to hang out by the pool.
Right.
And, yeah, and it was extremely hot, and I had just gotten Jack, my dog. That was a brand new dog, basically, and he was so hot in the car, and I was like super
nervous.
Were
you single at the time?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so you were single, but Rob was there with his wife.
My friend
now.
Rob Stern and Meredith, who are married.
So you were just the extra.
I was the fifth wheel.
The fifth wheel.
Yeah, fifth wheel.
I remember going to a Mexican restaurant. I don't remember much else from that
trip. We got Thai food delivered.
Yes, I remember that.
And I remember the mist the mist by the pool.
Yes.
But other than that, it was excruciatingly hot.
Yeah.
And Luigi was there.
Oh, yeah, I remember that too. I remember the, okay, so, but isn't that weird you can go on a whole trip and not really remember fucking anything?
Well, that's Palm Springs.
Really?
Palm Springs is a haze, especially when it's hot. You just go there and
throws everything away after a decade. It's like with taxes. You just throw away anything older than 7 years. I meet people and they'll tell me, remember we took that road trip to L.A.? And you had an audition, and I'm like, I don't even know your name. I don't remember this at all. And they're like, it was just you, me, and 2 other people in a car for hours.
Yes.
No recollection.
Yeah, there are things I've talked about, like podcasts I've done, and like things that have documentation, like that I will never remember. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I met Larry David, and I said, "Nice to meet you." And he said, "We've met before."
He remembered.
I forgot meeting Larry David.
Wow.
Because I think I expunge things that are too much for my brain to handle. Like knowing Larry David or meeting him, if it didn't go the way I wanted it to, reset button. And And so when someone goes, "You don't remember meeting me," I always go, "I didn't remember meeting Larry David. So of course I didn't remember meeting you."
Well, you got to do the trick, the Hollywood hello. Well,
no, nice to see you. I don't like that nice to see you shit.
Yeah, nice. You don't like it's fake?
That confuses me.
Yesterday, Kathy Hilton did it to me. I love Kathy Hilton, but I went to the Paris Hilton thing.
Okay.
Against what I wanted to do, which the only reason I didn't want to do it is because I didn't have an outfit planned. I didn't have hair and makeup. I'm like sick. I think I have bronchitis or something. Like, I just didn't feel good, but I went because we talked about it on the podcast and I knew that, like, I should do this.
Yeah. You were peer pressured.
Am I glad I did it? No, absolutely not. I should have stayed home. I was not in the mood to do it. Kathy Hilton, but she twice, I go, nice to meet you. We've never met before. I gave her that in of like, I'm acknowledging you shouldn't know who I am.
Yes.
And she still double timed, nice to see you to me. Which if you don't know and you're listening, nice to see you is the way that people in Hollywood greet each other in case they've met before. It covers you for meeting for the first time.
Yeah.
It's nice to see you. Or it's like, we've never met before, or we've met before, nice to see you again. It kind of covers that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's locked into a nice to see you. She's adopted that, and that's her thing. And she was hilarious and really fun and funny. And Paris was just great and beautiful. And we shopped for baby clothes together at Saks Fifth Avenue. And every little garment was more money than I've ever spent on a shirt in my life for this little baby that would wear it one time.
For like,
maybe.
Yeah, can only fit in it for 2 days.
But it was very normal the way the shopping went. Like, you'd think shopping with Kathy and Paris would be this like monumental event and like they would shop in a different way. No, same old way. You just like go, this is cute. At one point I go to the woman working, I go, how many times a day do you hear this is cute? She was like, thousands. And then Kathy goes, this is adorable. I go, what about adorable? And she goes, less so. And I was like, yeah. So I regret doing it because I wasn't my best self. I wasn't like, I don't feel super comfortable being like the kind of funny that I am around Kathy Hilton.
Yeah.
And I looked so like, I looked like such a scrub. I put on the cutest outfit I could find, but I had no plans of even going to dinner with a friend while I was in town. So I don't have any cute clothes. And Kathy Hilton at one point held up, I was wearing like a sweater with flowers on it, like these like daisies on it that I've worn a million times, it probably smelled. And at one point she held up like a kid's thing that had like hearts and flowers all over it and that was really ugly. And she goes, this would match your outfit. And she wasn't trying to be mean, she was just right. And I was just kind of had to swallow and be like, oh, because I saw her take in my outfit, like, what is this? I mean, the irony of everyone that works at Saks that kind of judges you, when you go into a nice store and you feel bad about your outfit, mm-hmm. and the staff there is kind of like, you're gross. I always want to be like, you can't afford this shit either, yeah. bitch. You work here. You're making $7.50 an hour. Why are you judging me? I got to remind myself of that. People that own shops are not like rolling in dough generally, or even working in shops.
I don't understand shops at all. I see shops all the time. I don't see anyone in there ever. They have like five shirts.
It's a billboard.
It's just a billboard?
Yeah. That's what they're mostly for.
Yeah. Especially on Rodeo.
Yeah.
The old Rodeo.
Yeah. Yeah.
But these places make you dress in their clothes, but they won't really pay for it. And they give you a tiny discount. And that's the hard part. You have to have like
new outfits
all the time. And you have to basically invest all the money you're earning there back into the dumb store.
Yes. Mm. Carlisle made me laugh so hard. This whole like you get a discount thing. Doesn't everyone realize that everything's marked up like 100%? So if you're getting a 10% discount, it really is not a lot. But Carlisle was talking about this new building she moved into over Erewhon, or might move into. They give you, if you live in this building, 10% off at Erewhon.
Oh, wow.
Which is fucking nothing. Erewhon makes Whole Foods look like a soup pantry. Like, it looks like a place you'd go to get free food if you're homeless. Like, that is the pricing at Erewhon.
Erewhon's insane.
10% off is nothing.
Well, 10% off at Erewhon is like $50,000.
Mm. Yeah, they have some spinach dip or something there that's famous. I forget what it is, but I saw it on Instagram. It's this big. It's like a quart, and it's $45, and they sell it during some holiday.
Erewhon's insane. And Erewhon just opened up around the corner for me, which means like
it's amazing. Noah and I went to one together recently for lunch. It's great stuff, good. But you have no business walking in there unless you're rich.
No, I mean
They
had valet parking, remember?
Yes.
It's filled with people with eating disorders. When I had a full raging eating disorder and I was going to like 2 Bikram yoga classes a day, I would just starve myself all day. And then at night, because I was so whatever it's called, orthorexic, where you're obsessed with like only eating organic food. I would go there and get these raw brownies that only ingredients were like coconut oil, cacao shavings, coconut shavings, and that was it. And I would just eat that and be starving, and it was probably like 3,000 calories or something, and I'd be like, why am I fat? Because I just wasn't eating anything all day and then just eating like a bunch of coconut oil at night.
Yes.
It was depressing. It and is. They cost so much. It's like $30 for those fuckers.
I told, when Carla said that, I was like, I need to get through to her. Do not go there. 10% off is not enough to justify Air One. That's how they get you.
You can't grocery shop there. That's insane.
No.
It's already really expensive. If you go to Whole Foods, you get...
Whole Foods is already a ripoff.
Yeah, if you get it delivered from Amazon, then it costs, you know, there's fees in that. And then there's like Trader Joe's, which is a good
price. I'm embarrassed to
have
my groceries delivered because then people have to see what I get.
When you get takeout, when you get takeout food, you know how they put like a sticker over the bag, or they staple it, and there's a sticker that says sealed for your protection. You ever get that?
No, but I haven't noticed it, I guess, because I usually am just like ripping it open like a fucking wild coyote.
Well, it's like a new thing.
Okay.
Like if you get DoorDash, you get a bag, and then they'll put a sticker over it that says sealed for your protection.
Uh-huh.
I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Well, I think that people were eating things before.
Oh, yeah.
I think people were rummaging around in there.
That's insane.
Or no, poison? It's not. I get it. Because if you're making no money as a little driver and there's some fresh fries in a bag.
And then they eat one eating of your fries.
And guess what? I don't think it's that gross. If they're not touching your other fries, why is it that gross? Let them have a fucking fry.
Well, the sticker's not going to stop them then. You just pull it up and then close it.
Well, yeah. Well,
if
no.
If they're going to go so far.
You probably can't restick it.
You think it's a
well, last night I got Takaya and I spent fucking $90 on my Takaya order. They always throw in like four silverware things because they think that's how many people I ordered for. And I ordered all these sauces and none of the sauces came and I was so furious.
Oh,
and then I was just like,
worst.
Who cares? Like, who am I? Like, I get to have this delivered. I get to spend $90 on takeout and it's like not a treat. It's just like the way I live. Like, I'm doing pretty well. I can live without my sauces tonight.
Sure, sure.
But it was annoying and I did go on the app and I got reimbursed $10.
But that's automatic now. So that's
great. Good for you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
My mouth is so stupid because right now I'm listening to your story. I have no idea what Takaya is and my mouth is watering. I'm like, you don't even know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
I just heard sauces. What, is it Japanese food?
No, it's Mexican.
Takaya Organica.
Yeah.
Yeah, Organica.
Wait, it's you love the salsas. You like drink salsa now.
I do. I love it's one of my favorite drinks. I love sauces, but I just am in this new thing of like when I'm starting to feel this panic of like persecution, I just have to go, you're lucky and everything works out for you. So it honestly probably worked out that I didn't have like acid re-re because of the salsas. You know, like I could sleep through the night. I keep waking up. I have this cough that like won't go away. It's crispy. Listen to my crispy cough.
Honestly, it sounds good.
Really?
You'll have it soon too, Brian.
Yeah, I guess so. But it sounds like a cough that's like working.
Yeah, you will.
It's working on your behalf.
You got it.
I don't want it. I definitely don't want it.
He's already got it.
But it's like crunchy.
That's what's good about it.
It feels like I'm shaking a can of Pringles.
Yeah, it sounds satisfying.
That cough is better than
you want to know
many
though?
Coughs that
it's not. It's not getting anything up. Once in a while, something comes up, but nothing. There's nothing moving. And my my voice teacher said it's probably bronchitis. And so I looked up bronchitis, and I mean it checks out. I mean, what's the difference between the croup, bronchitis, strep? Strep I know hurts. This doesn't.
Yeah.
My throat's not hurting. But I do wake up in the middle of the night just like dry, like coughing and crunching.
Well,
all
the reason
over.
I say it sounds good is because I think it sounds like a quality, like movie, like a Foley artist cough.
Oh, thanks.
Like you'd put that cough in a movie because it's like not
upsetting. Oh, fake coughs are the worst.
Yeah.
When someone's like.
Yeah, why don't you do some ADR work and earn some money while you're at it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I should commoditize this. Commodify?
You only have it for a little while.
God, man, Succession has the best word usage.
Yeah.
I keep watching the show and I have just like a list. Can I go through a list of words and see if you guys know what these words mean? I mean, Anya's very good at words. Ironized. That's the first word before I find my phone.
Ironized?
Ironized.
To make ironic?
Yes. How do you know that?
How do you know that? Because that, I thought it was to like make something irony. Make it like iron.
Yeah, I thought it was like some sort of chemical reaction that makes it iron. Like iodized.
Yes, that's what I thought. How did you know that, Anya?
I just guessed. I don't think it's that smart of me, but give us more.
No, it's very smart.
Okay. Patois. P-A-T-O-I-S.
Yes, that is, that's French. That's when a duck, you have a duck fat inside of
No, that's pate.
Oh. Here's my guess. An overall coloring or color scheme or like.
Patois.
It's French for three dads.
It's the dialect of the common people of a region.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, wow. Of course.
Far
I said
off.
That.
Okay. Incoate. I-N-C-H-O-A-T-E.
Incoate.
Oh, I should know this.
That sounds like a new tech company.
Yeah. Or it looks like it says like in chocolate. Like look at how it's spelled.
Incoate.
Is it like...
Incoate.
And they have to say it in a British accent to make it sound really stupid.
Incoate.
Okay. It's like something that is you're born with or something, no?
Well, kind of close. Well, you're beating around the bush. It's just begun and so not fully formed or developed. Rudimentary.
Oh, I should know. That's such a good word.
Epiphenomenon.
Wow. Oh, they say all these words in epiphenomenon. In succession?
Yes, they do. It's nuts.
Epa means revolving around something.
Epiphenomenon.
And a phenomenon is some event that occurs. So revolving around an event that was a significant event.
A secondary effect or byproduct that arises but does not causally influence a process.
That's right. They were talking about that in the show. Weren't they talking about like the definition or not?
No, they weren't talking about the definition. They just used it. They just expect you to know these things. They all, God, this show is so freaking good. The new, I know you don't watch it, but the new episode is fucking incredible.
You watched the new episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm obsessed and I love, I just love everything that's happening on that show so much and I don't want to give anything away, but Logan has like there's this one part where, you know, the patriarch, who's this like disgruntled gruff man who just says fuck off all the time. He's just mad and no one can get him. Like he's never lost. He always wins. And he has this moment in this diner where he's asking his bodyguard, and he has no friends at this point. His family's kind of estranged and like all of his friends and his wife is fucking, they don't want to divorce because it would cost too much, but she's gone, you know. And he's just like at this diner with his bodyguard and he's just like, what do you think happens after this? Like, what do you think? What comes after? And the bodyguard's talking and he just keeps interrupting him because this guy is incapable of like hearing anyone else out or being interested in anyone else, like most men on a date. And so he just keeps asking questions that he answers himself. And then he goes, I don't know. The thing is, you don't know. You can't know. And he goes, but I've got my suspicions. I've got my fucking suspicions. He's like, he's mad about, like, this guy is always paranoid that someone's out to get him.
Yeah.
And he's even, after he dies, he's like already angry about whatever's like going to happen to him. And like, someone's going to try to fuck him over. It's just so well done. And the acting is superb. And I just love it.
Do you have a favorite
so
character?
Yes. Fucking, what's his name? Roman. He's my favorite. He just is fuck you, and just like quick, and he's says the funniest things, and he's also like the most emotional, and he's, you know, I don't know, like he's just been kind of screwed over because he's the youngest one, and he was kind of like bullied as a child, and he has weird sexual hangups, and he talks like this, and he's just like fuck you, sis, I don't care, and I just think there's like an innocence to him. All together though, Tom Wamscams is what I'm rooting for, and I'm really glad that he's fucking giving Shiv the shiv and is like not putting up with her shit anymore, and he's just a sweet character. I just love I love them all for different reasons, and I also hate them all for different reasons.
The show is
Anya,
so well
done. Did you see
done.
The new episode?
Yes.
I watched it twice.
I'm ready to go back. I think the part with the Burberry bag is great, and I loved the article in the cut about the Burberry bag. This one character shows up to a party and they just do such a great job of showing all of the bullshit around wealth. Like, she has a $3,000 bag, this one girl.
That's a $3,000 bag?
Yeah, it's a Burberry bag. And evidently, Burberry went through this whole not scandal, but like their brand kind of went down. So they're poking fun at the bag because she's not the right kind of rich. Like she shows up with a big clunky Burberry bag. And yes. So Tom Wamsgans has a great line that's like,
I'll read it to you.
Yes.
I have a account that said, so he says, so Greg, the young like cousin Greg, who's kind of like a buffoonish character, he brings this girl with him to his uncle's birthday party. And he's like, I think, you know, he goes up to Tom and he's like, I think she's leaving. I don't know. And he goes, why? Because she brought a ludicrously capacious bag. What's even in there, huh? Flat shoes for the subway, her lunch pail. I mean, Greg, it's monstrous. It's gargantuan. You could take it camping. You could slide it across the floor after a bank job. And this is the bag.
It's so funny.
It makes me so paranoid that I have big bags now. And capacious was a word I had to look up right away. I paused it because I was watching with Chris. And every time a word comes up that we don't know, I pause it. I go, what do you think that means? And so he was like, I think it's like capacity so big. And I'm like, you're right, capacious. Yeah. Okay. That's a great word.
Yeah. Is Chris always especially getting queen bee on the
context? Capacious?
I mean, that was me yesterday. I was the girl with the big bag walking into Saks to meet Kathy and Paris Hilton, two of the most articulately, perfectly, poshly dressed people. Yeah. I looked like a hoodlum. And there was no other, and by the way, I was texting the producers on my way there being like, I'm dressed disgustingly. I'm really anxious about it. I am not feeling good. I need you guys to know this. And I show up and they go, you're fine. And she goes, you're dressed exactly like me. And I go, are you going shopping with Kathy Hilton? No, you're working on, you're a crew member on a show all day. I was like, I'm not supposed to be dressed like you. She was like, I'm dressed like you. I'm like, yeah, but you're working all day.
So how did it go, though? I mean,
I wasn't able to be that funny because I was just too nervous. And like, if there was one other funny person there, it would be fun because that person could like, if I would have brought a friend who is funny, we could have been funny with each other and laughed at the fact that our jokes don't go well. Uh-huh. But when I make a joke and it doesn't go well, it's just Kathy and her,
they're not
Paris and her mom, they're not like not good laughers. They just don't. Kathy didn't know who I was. No context for who I was.
Yeah, it was nice.
Paris
nice
didn't
to
fill
see
her
you,
in. Right, it was nice to see me.
Yeah.
Paris was just like, "This is my friend Nikki." It wasn't like this is she's a comedian. So there was no like pretext for like let's expect her to be funny. So I was doing kind of funny things and saying funny things, but I also felt so uncomfortable with how I was dressed. I couldn't be comfortable. Yeah. I couldn't be myself because I just felt so bad.
It was so cute. I liked it.
I felt
like,
so
oh,
embarrassed.
Adorable.
The way Kathy Hilton looked me up and down, I guarantee you, you would not have felt comfortable in my outfit. Yeah, I looked capacious. My pants were too big. It was just, I didn't look cute and I just didn't feel comfortable regardless of, they were so nice to me and they were so funny and they were funnier than I was. I was just too nervous. And so I'm saying this next time I'm going to trust my instinct and not go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're right. Sometimes the thing that's hard to do that you're like, do the hard thing. Sometimes you don't want to do it because there is a reason to be scared. You're not prepared. We got to go to break. And I'll talk more about, and then I had a whole night last night as well after this. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence,
Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
So I finished the Paris thing yesterday, and then I had like a couple hours before I had agreed. Somehow I agreed to do three sets, and I don't know how it happened, but I was like bronchitis, and then I couldn't check in my hotel till 4, so I got here at 1 and had to wait in the lobby for 3 hours with nothing to do except be on my phone and look at pictures of myself when I was thinner. And so I was just in a bad mood.
Oh,
I come up here. I smell bad, but I don't have time to really shower and redo my hair because I'm trying to keep my hair from the iHeart Awards so I can bring it to the fucking Saks Fifth Avenue and look like at least something looks good on me. And then so I feel sticky and gross, and then I have to, and then I'm like, okay, I'll get a little nap in. I can't nap before the sets for because of my bronchitis. I tried to cancel a set, the 10:20, my latest set. So I had a 9 o'clock, a 9:30, and a 10:20, and I'm like, let me get out of that 10:20. But I agreed to do the 10:20 like that morning. So why would I get out of something that I agreed to do so late? But I wrote to him and I go, how annoying is it for me to cancel? And he was like, I just had Ida Rodriguez to cancel. And I'm like, I won't cancel on you. So I do them all. I had to kick out one. I got heckled at the Comedy Store, and this girl was like, loved me. She had a shaved head and she was just very enthusiastic about everything I said. And then they kicked her out and she was like crying on the way out. And so that was kind of like rough. And I was a little bit mean because that's why I don't do crowd work, because I always go mean.
Yeah.
Because the funniest thing is to say a mean thing.
Sure. It's not, that's not at first, really true. You're so lovely. Like, you'll be like, you're straight, tell your voice, like, which is mean but hilarious. And you're always very gentle with people. I feel like everyone knows you're kidding.
But that's not funny, because I always gentle, because I was like, babe, I'm so sorry you're getting kicked out. I was like, we know, like, you're she was like, but I love you. And I was like, I know, it's just you're too annoying. And and I go, and I'm sorry you were molested, because I was talking about molestation. And then she started mouthing up, and I go, this is the product of, like, if you touch kids, they turn into this, like, someone who doesn't really know social boundary, like, she's fucked up from it. I go, 100% that girl was molested. She had a shaved head. She was just being very loud and like, I love you. And she wasn't listening. I was trying to engage her in a way that like would make her a part of the show, but she wasn't responding. So they kicked her out, and she's just pleading on the way out. and like just begging, and I'm like, I abandoned her like Doug on that on the battlefield
on the lawn.
And then they told me afterwards she was crying outside, and they were really nice to her though at the Comedy Store. They were like, listen, it happens all the time, we know you were trying to help, it just didn't work out,
you can come back again. She's just too drunk to realize what she's doing.
Yeah. So that, and then I go to the 10th-20 spot, and Tiffany Haddish is there. She wasn't even on the lineup, but I go, oh, hey. And I go, you know Bette Midler is here? Because I'm walking in, and they go, this is a star-studded crowd. And I go, who's here? And they go, Bette Midler. And I was like, Bette Midler is at a 10 o'clock improv show on a Tuesday? What? So I'm excited. I see her in the court, like in the back. She's by herself. I think she was by herself. And then Tiffany Haddish comes in, and I go, Tiffany, Bette Midler's here. And she goes, I know, I invited her. And I was like, what the fuck? God. You're friends with Bette? And so she was like, I met her. She was like, I met her at the Met Gala the second time I did it. And then I ran into her, and she was like, we kept in touch through the pandemic. And then I met her. I saw her earlier. I was having dinner, and I saw her, and I told her I was doing a set. And she was like, I want to go. So Tiffany brought her there, and then I did a set. And it was really fun because it's the only time I've ever been like, what does Bette want to hear? Yeah, like I wasn't thinking about anyone else in that crowd. So I did a total Bette set. And then I left afterwards because I had to go home and sleep. And then I woke up to a text this morning that said that the booker of the show said Bette Midler was looking for you afterwards.
Oh,
she wanted you to take a picture with you. Isn't that sweet?
That's amazing.
I missed out. That was cool. And then I ate some sauceless Mexican food, went to bed. That was my day.
What was the Bette set? What kind of topics did you cover?
Aging, being a woman in this industry, and what the bullshit is, and how you have to be so talented. If you want to get old, you better keep your talent up. And how, you know, fuck you, J-Lo, for lying to people. You've all had facelifts. Everyone has facelifts. I'm going to get a facelift. Just a lot of aging stuff and a lot of, like, calling hypocrisy out for Hollywood.
Did you see her in the crowd?
No, but she was right underneath the light in the back of the room, so it was, like, very dark.
You couldn't tell if she was laughing.
But Bette asked for me afterwards, so I'm guessing.
You must have thought it was good.
So cool.
I'm guessing she liked it. So that was fun.
So you had Bette Midler ask for you and that drunk girl in the same night?
I know.
I mean, you're crush it.
Maybe it was Bette Midler in the first show. Yeah. Can you imagine throwing Bette Midler out of your show? I mean, you could have asked me all day yesterday, name celebrities that could come to your show, the least likely. And she would have made my list of least likely.
Least likely to show up.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're kind of like, no, that makes sense for Bette being out on a Jamie Lee Curtis won't go to a show at 7 p.m.
How old is Bette Midler?
I would guess. Okay. Let's do a bet.
A bet. All right.
I bet she is 73.
Okay. Anya, anyone else? Bet?
I thought she was 72.
I'm going to say 74.
Wow, this is really all in the same range.
Would you guys have said this had I not said 73?
I'm going to bet that she's
$1.
Yeah, I'm going to bet she's $1. I'm going to bet 80.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's a horrible bet.
Yeah.
Brian's over.
Oh.
Can we tell you how old she is?
Yes.
77.
Wow. Bette Midler out at the fucking night.
Did I win?
At 77. Yes.
Anya wins.
Wait, I have a downstairs neighbor.
No.
No, she was just watching.
Okay. No. Yeah, yeah. No, no, no.
I have a downstairs neighbor who's 89.
Oh.
And she is,
wow.
She's the type of person that will go to a comedy show at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday.
I guess I got to keep you alive to be that active. You got to keep going like a shark.
The secret. Yeah, like a shark.
Yep. I heard you say it yesterday.
You're going to do it.
I'll probably make it to
You're going to pull it off.
I don't know. I'm tall, though. Tall people don't live long.
You're not that tall. They say the new generation is living to 110. Is that right?
That's
really?
Life insurance or people who do financials for like your long term, they plan for you to be 106.
Wow.
Which is good news.
Well, the fact that we're not all inhaling cigarette smoke 24/7
that helps.
Is going to give us a slight advantage. Your parents, our parents, all inhaled cigarette smoke for 40 years.
Yeah.
Everywhere they went.
Yeah, they would smoke
30 or 40 years.
And
smoke too. But secondhand smoke was horrific on planes. I mean, it's just insane.
Oh, the fact that you could smoke on a plane is
the fact
madness.
That I walk by someone smoking and I'm like, oh, God. And like, that was just the air back then.
Yeah.
But
well, now I'm getting
nuts.
It. I'm getting it a little bit with weed smoke now.
Oh, weed smoke is everywhere.
People are not conscious of the fact that it smells for
like, and when
miles.
I've smoked weed, I've always been conscious of that. And people are always like, it's fine. It's weed. It doesn't. And I'm like, no, people, this is annoying. It's, I've never been someone who smokes weed who thinks it's cool and that everyone should have to like deal with it.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm on the road and I like I'm in my green room. And I know that, like, I'm not smoking out the green room. I just go in the shower or something and try to keep it a little bit contained. But, like, people who just waft it through the street and I'm constantly walking by it, be ashamed.
Yeah.
Be ashamed of this drug habit you have a little bit. Try to keep it, you know, contained.
It's not about shame for the drug habit. It's about shame for being rude.
It's, well,
like, maybe people don't want to smell that.
I mean, I hate shame and I think it's the worst thing possible. So I don't really mean that. But I do feel like you should have, I have shame with smoking and I don't think that everyone should have to deal with it. I always ask beforehand if I'm going to do it in a green room with other people, like, is this, you know, or I do it, wait till they're gone and like waft it away. But it's like, it's just gross.
But especially now that you can vape and it doesn't smell like anything.
Vaping is so horrible and it makes you feel like, it just, it's, I don't like vaping at all. Because first of all, vaping for me as someone who can be very addicted to weed is dangerous because you can do it everywhere. Mm. And at least when, if I want to get high and I'm smoking weed, I have to be stinky. Mm-hmm. I have to do a thing that I have a cigarette butt thing that I have to put out somewhere. Like it's an, it's an inconvenience. It makes it so like I have to really want it. When I can just vape anytime, any day, I'm high 24/7. It just it within 3 days, if I get a vape, I'm doing it constantly.
Yeah.
And I don't keep it to just, I'm not someone who can just like moderate. So I think smoking weed when I do, when I am in those spells of doing it, it just keeps me more honest and it makes me do it less because it is gross.
Isn't it crazy regarding like fears of what's going to kill us that no one was getting like acrylic nails done when we were growing up, really? And that stuff seems so toxic. And were they having like explosions of chemical gases like what they are now? Like, are we really better off now than when we were growing up?
Well, yeah, they weren't drinking from plastic water bottles constantly. Right. There's right. going to be new, and they weren't constantly on their phones all the time. Like,
yeah.
There are new cigarettes, and sugar wasn't in everything, and corn syrup wasn't in everything. So, yeah, there are other things that are killing us, but...
And there are things we don't even know that are
God.
Killing us that we don't even know yet that they're going to kill us. 20 years from now, they're going to be like, guess what? LaCroix, bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. BPA's in LaCroix.
You know when you drank Vitamin Water Zero and you thought you had no sugar? Well, that's bad.
Well, we all know aspartame is bad or
well,
whatever those fake sugars are.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
not good.
I drink 6 Vitamin Water Zeros a day.
Really?
Well, no, I'll drink like one. I think I have one with me.
I know. I saw it in your bag. What is it called? It's a funky flavor.
Oh, this is the best flavor of vitamin water. Gutsy. It's a watermelon peach.
Oh.
Summer
that
flavor.
That does sound good.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. It'll kill me, but it's
what
good.
A racket.
Do you do that instead of water?
No, I'll drink... I just don't drink enough water.
I don't either. I don't like water. It's so boring and it like makes my stomach hurt.
Wow, that's not normal.
I don't like water. I really, unless I'm super thirsty, it really, I struggle with drinking water. So
are you drinking tap water?
Or
is it filtered?
I mean I have a Berkey system that Chris got me, but I just like I have no problem with tap. Tap water doesn't bother me. It's any water. It's just like, it is a nuisance to drink. It feels like annoying to have to do it. I'm
you
never
chug
like,
it.
Water.
Get your water in the morning.
I do
you
chug
wake
it.
Up, you chug a liter of water, and then you're like, okay, that's my water for the morning.
Yeah, like a plant that you like forget to water all week, and you
exactly.
just dump a bucket on.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that's how you're supposed to do it. I think you're supposed to sip it all day long.
I can't
Nikki's
do that.
Been
so
a chugger
hard to
do
since
the right infancy.
Thing. Yeah,
she
I was chugging a baba in a picture. There's a picture
the
of me
picture.
As a baby, and I'm just like oh. like this with a bottle, like getting the last remnants, like like just chugging a baba.
Baba.
Yeah, I chug everything. I get these extra hot coffees, like a venti coffee. I can finish an extra hot venti latte, and I'm not joking you. And this is without trying. 2 minutes.
Wow.
Two
Wait,
minutes.
Hot?
Extra hot.
Like,
and
you don't
I got
have
them extra
burns?
Hot. Well, I get them extra hot so that I slow down because if it
Wait,
wasn't
Nikki.
Extra hot, I could do it in one sip, a whole venti.
We have to tell besties how you get this extra hot feature. Remember, we had
someone asked a question. You just say extra hot, and then they just make
listen?
It hotter.
And then they listen.
Yeah, it's almost it's a feature on the app too. You just put in extra hot.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand people that get regular drinks without the extra hot. If you get tea, that's different because tea is always like so hot because of the hot water. But regular lattes, they would get room temperature within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. And people that just sip on regular lattes all day, do you not have a problem sipping on a room temperature drink? Noah?
Well, ever since you taught me about this life hack, I just order it extra hot now.
But before, were you like, oh, it's kind of gross now?
Yeah,
it's like
it would get
hot.
Cold.
It gets and cold immediately.
Especially if you're picking it up. It's like on the counter for
yes.
who knows
and
how
that's
long.
Why I always order them at exactly 4 minutes before I get there because it will always be like up within a minute of when I get there and it's not sitting there. And that's why cold drinks are always kind of advantageous. But those I suck down immediately. I mean, like they don't stand a chance. I can do them in one sip.
I could drink a vitamin water all day long.
Me too.
Like the complete cookie. No, I'm saying I could take one bottle and it'll last me all day.
What? I thought you said you had six.
That was a joke. Oh, I was doing it for the purpose of laughter.
All day long you're just sipping on it?
Yeah, so what I'll do, which is like people
find... How does
find,
anyone be like... Aren't you like starving to death if the speed you eat and the speed you drink?
I don't know. Something's wrong. But I drink some of it and then sometimes I'll drink like a quarter of my vitamin water and I'll put it back in the fridge.
Oh my God.
Yeah, people find that to be insane.
Yeah, it really is.
And then I'll have a half of vitamin water later. It just like it's like, oh, I can have some more of this later now.
No, I've never understood people that can like save leftovers for later or go, I'm going to have this lunch. I'm feeling a little full. I'll put it away and have the rest of it for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever I'm doing, it's not working.
No, it's great. What do you mean?
Well, it's not working. I don't feel good. But
you don't feel good?
No, never. But I do.
What do you feel? Final thought. Why are you feeling bad? What do you feel?
Oh, it's...
somatic. Let's do it.
It's totally... I mean, it's psychosomatic. Constant pains. But I do save
Where?
Half of vitamin water, and that makes it all...
Where are your pains?
Everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
You just went for a run this morning.
Yeah, so I wanted to say that because it's raining.
Yeah.
And so I went for a run this morning in the rain because I go for a run in the rain more often than I will... on a normal day because I feel like I'm getting something over on the rest of the people in the world who refuse to run in the rain. Because it's like psychotic to be running in the rain.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's slippery out there.
Yeah,
it's uncomfortable.
But now I'm running and it's like, yeah, I'm getting it done today. Whereas if it was a sunny day, I'd just be like, I don't want to go running.
So you're doing it as a fuck you to everyone driving by you being like, man, that guy's actually doing it. I'm not doing a good job today. You're trying to like make people feel guilty.
I'm more motivated to do it when I get that feeling.
And you know what? This is what so many people do on Instagram. No one has ever been motivated by a workout you post on Instagram, by the way. Anyone posting your little workout or like how much weight you've lost or some stupid achievement, no one, you've never made someone feel good. About the only person you're making feel good is you. No one's ever been like, wow, I'm gonna go move my body today because you got in a bunch of reps of whatever dumb workout you're doing. It's solely to brag and it's solely to make other people feel less about themselves, which is a great marketing tool for whatever business you're trying to run. So you're doing the right thing, but stop pretending Motivation Mondays that you're trying to motivate anyone with your bullshit. You're not. You don't want anyone to look like you. That's what makes you stand out from people.
And then they say, I know a lot of people have been telling me that they were inspired to work out because I...
Yeah,
because
right.
I posted this. They say that. I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, we all know that a lot of people in celebrity speak is one.
Yes, yes.
A lot of people didn't ask how my drinks are getting extra hot. One person did, but it does become like, people are asking. You know, people always, I always see people writing like, a lot of people asking where I'm going to be this
that
weekend.
A
lot of people. And it's like, one person DM'd you at most, and they probably weren't even asking that specifically of a question, and you could have written them back. You don't need to tell us all that a lot of people asking. And by the way, it's there are a lot of people, not a lot of people asking. It's just like, speak normally. It's just like, stop lying and saying a lot of people are asking. No one's asking.
A lot of people are asking me, how'd you get so funny?
But I just don't understand what, when I say a lot of people ask, sometimes there are things that a lot of people ask about something, but I generally don't think. There was a girl that we mocked so endlessly in my girls' chat who posted about, it's been 3 years since the pandemic, and these are all the things I've gotten done in my life. And it was like, boom, boom, boom. Oh. And just a list started appearing of like, I wrote a book. I sold a book. I froze my eggs. I did it. I had a baby. I lost 20 pounds. I ran a marathon. And like all this shit. And it's like, who is this for?
Yeah.
Who is that going to make? First of all, we can't change the last 3 years of our lives. So unless I've done equally amounts of impressive things, this only makes me feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
So the only reason this is, you're doing this. So when you see someone bragging like that, please know that they are not trying to inspire you. There is not a part of them at all that is trying to inspire you. There are people on social media that do try to inspire and they do inspiring things. But the people that post their workouts generally are not trying to
inspire.
They're
trying to sell you aloe. That it's always aloe.
Aloe clothing.
Yeah. They're always trying to sell you aloe.
Oh, God.
I've never seen one of those videos without someone wearing aloe.
Yes. Yes. It's always aloe clothing. And it's always, have you guys ever felt motivated by someone bragging on Instagram? Has it ever made you feel better about yourself?
Well, it can make you feel worse about yourself.
Yes.
Which then makes you motivated to do something.
That's never happened.
To close the app.
Has that happened to you?
For working out?
Yeah, to close the app.
Oh, not working.
It makes you motivated to close the app is what Noah said. But it doesn't. It makes me go deeper and go, okay, let me go deeper in her feed.
I liked how that motivated you to create your own picture of what you've done since the pandemic, which was so fucking funny.
Oh, yeah.
Funny.
So Carlisle, so I posted this in the girls' chat of like, who is this for, you guys? Who do you think this girl posted this for other than herself to just brag? And so then Carlisle made one of like all the things, like, it's been 3 years since the shutdown. Here's everything I got done. And then mine was... Yeah, and so I made one, Carlisle made one. I won't read Carlisle's just for anonymity's sake, but mine was quite fun.
Nikki's was like, I've lost 10,000 strands of hair.
mine was really, classically like negative and exaggerated. Oh, here it is. Oh, so this is the picture.
Oh, no.
That she posted, and it wasn't a picture, it was like her moving around, so I'm not going to show it, but she's just like, brag, all the way down. And so we all did one. I said, it's been 3 years since lockdown. In that time, I've farted in public and someone heard it 3 times. Spent $96,000 on an apartment I never set foot in. Prayed to God to end my life 1,611 times. Burnt my leg with a curling iron and now it's infected 1 time. Learned 4 chords on the guitar. Spent $15,000 on a book I never wrote. Dressed to go to the gym and never did it 203 times. Said fuck you and hung up on my mom and dad twice. Eaten 400 protein bars in bed between the hours of 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. Actually followed through on 2 out of 1,766 creative ideas. That has been my 3 years of lockdown.
And that, I feel motivated.
I know.
You should. So honest. That makes people feel better. When you share things about yourself that are embarrassing and are real, but sharing your things that you've accomplished only make people feel worse. And I wish people would stop doing it so much. And if you need to brag, just say, I need to brag.
I do it to myself. And it feels good. Like sometimes when I'm depressed, that's a tool I use where I'll be like, what did you accomplish today? And then I'll write it down for myself. And that feels great. But I'm not going to broadcast it online. Like, hey, you dumb fucks. Here's what I've done.
You fat, slob. Lazy slobs.
Look what I did. I'm working out at 6 a.m. So I ran in the rain this morning, but I didn't post about it.
Yeah.
Although I told you because I thought...
No, it was interesting. You can tell your friends... You can brag and boast to your friends all you want. It's like when you're putting it on your social media, I think that we all are aware that we're all being poisoned by comparing ourselves to other people. So we need to do our best to combat that. And so when you post something that is really braggy, make sure you like tell the truth behind it. Like,
yeah, that's the way to do it cool.
I don't, I try when I post a really hot picture of myself to let everyone know all the work that went into it and like the and to say I'm lucky. These are things I'm lucky that happened. It's not because I'm better than you. And it's like, I think that people really do think they're better than other people.
Yeah.
Most of the time. They don't really acknowledge that it's just luck.
Well, you have to post, you know, when you're trying to be in the public sphere, you have to post your accomplishments.
You have to brag all the time.
Like you always say, like, the reason you get these Getty images is because you have to put a Getty image out there every once in a while to...
Yes.
To make people know that... You know, they're that you exist.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to brag.
So like, you know, I always think about this. Cause I mean, whenever I have something that I'm like, oh, I want to post about this, I don't know what to put in the caption to not sound like either way.
Yes.
Like I'm bragging or I'm
hashtags
too cool.
Hashtags are a good place to like let some like steam out.
Yeah.
Where you can go like, I hate doing this. Hashtag, this is obnoxious. Hashtag, tons of makeup. Hashtag, it took a village. Hashtag, we're all gonna die. Hashtag. Like yeah. I like to like remind.
Oh,
people.
You posted that in your last Instagram post where you were taking pictures on the red carpet.
Oh yeah, and I said we're all gonna die and we'll all be forgotten someday.
Yes, yes.
Because really did look like. Who does she think she is posting this? I posted because not because I'm like, look how hot I look. It's just interesting to see what that kind of looks like. That from that angle.
And also I think it's good to post that so that we know like what you're up to.
Yes. You need to let it's part of my job, but I'm not going to deny that this is all really obnoxious. And it looks like I think I'm better than people when I post this stuff. But I hope people know that I don't.
There's a lot of guys out there who are able to pull off just being 100% confident and like I'm the best, and that's like, and that works for them.
Yeah.
Like there's famous guys who are just like, I'm the fucking best. Here's me on the red carpet being the best, and everyone loves them for it.
Uh huh.
I don't think I could pull that off.
No. I mean, red carpets are so embarrassing because you have to be like, I look sweet and pose in a way that's like, I think I'm great, and like put your chin up and like it's you got to just fake it. Yeah. Because it does work when confidence is like everything.
Confidence.
I've been attracted to like some really disgusting people because of confidence.
Yeah. No, you know? Confidence is maybe the most important thing in life.
Ever.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know what? It's not necessarily confidence. It's just being comfortable in your own skin and liking yourself.
Yeah.
It's not like thinking you're better than people. It's just being okay with you. And not wanting more from other, like not wanting anything more, like not being jealous of other people. Like if you can nail that and really believe that and just be like, I like who I am, you are set. There's nothing more anyone should wish for in life than that ability. But it is so hard.
Yeah. No, I always say that about Malala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean? What are you always saying about Malala? That she just like likes who she is?
Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of does. And Greta Thunberg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she also likes who she is.
Yeah.
And Lizzo.
Yeah, well, Lizzo.
I don't know. Lizzo, sometimes I question. I go, is this performative body acceptance? Because I think at some point, women, if you ever feel insecure about your body, you can't tell anyone. Because then you're a bad example for women. So if Lizzo were to have a bad day, she has to just fake it like she loves herself. And I think she actually does. But I think there are a lot of women that just fake like they love themselves when they don't. And I don't even think that's good for women.
Yeah, I mean,
I think sometimes
icon.
Lizzo will be like, I had a rough day. And she'll post about it.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
I had some really tough times.
I love Lizzo so fucking much. I think she is just a gift to the world. And not just with her music. I really do think she is just so inspirational. And yeah, I do believe she really loves herself. All I want to know is, what did your parents do? Because if I ever be a parent, I want my daughter to have Lizzo's love for herself. But how do you do that? That comes from parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I always was like, what did Lizzo's parents do? What did Taylor Swift's parents do?
Well, that's what Adam Sandler's parents did.
What did Adam Sandler? Yes, exactly. That's it, man. Okay. Well, we got to go. Thank you for the shows this week, everyone. We really got to it. I will be in Bethesda. No, is that right? Bethesda?
Bethlehem.
Pennsylvania. So, yeah. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania next week. Hampton, New Hampshire at the casino next week. And then off to Tucson and one other place too. I forget, but I'm on tour.
In Vegas with
David Spade, which I'm going over to his place right now to shoot a promo video. So I guess I got to put on makeup or something. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast this week. I'll be back in St. Louis next week, and
we won't have a pod next week.
Oh, no pod next week. We're taking a break because we're done with season two, right?
Woo! Something, yeah.
Something yeah. like that. Okay, so yeah. Season three of the podcast will begin soon, but we will be off next week. But don't you think we won't be back, because we will. Love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. Don't be cuh, and just be like Lizzo. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.